The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology. Let's jump into Deshaun Watson.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How transparent has Deshaun Watson been with the NFL?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We've seen the NFL come down harder on players in the past that weren't transparent with them.
Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Hall of Fame sports columnist, Bob Ryan. Plus, ESPN MLB columnist, Buster Olney. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And welcome to August, everybody. It is the month of August in 2022 right here on NBC Sports on Peacock and Sirius XM85, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliates coast to coast. We say hello to all of you listening on Odyssey. And then later on, whenever you darn well please, listening to the podcast version of this show. We appreciate everybody who does that and hits the subscribe button so you join the old RSS feed. We greatly appreciate that. And anything that you miss over the next 3 hours, our YouTube page has your back. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. Christopher Brockman is fresh back from his walkabout in soggy Las Vegas, Nevada. Good to see you over
there, sir. Good to be back. Good to see you guys.
Oh, you've got Vegas voice.
I got a little Vegas voice.
Vegas voice. Yeah, a little V squared.
That's a real thing.
Vegas voice.
Okay.
Vegas voice is real.
Vegas, it's screaming over the thumping music? Is that what, like at the Gronk pool parties and
basically
stuff like
just
that?
Yelling four a lot.
Ah, okay, very good. Yeah. Good to see you over there, DJ Mikey D. Back from his 2 day.
I was on the boat. I had to get towed.
On the boat.
Not a good day.
Wait, you really had to get towed
on the boat?
Not a good day.
Wow. I didn't know that you. That's what you call working for Fox on the boat.
I was on the. I worked 3 days for Fox, okay. And then I had off yesterday.
But good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. The candle's already lit. The
candle's lit. We're ready to go on a Monday.
Good to see you over there, sir. Yeah. Buster Olney of ESPN is going to join us in hour number three. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is tomorrow. Luis Castillo became a Mariner since the last time
we
spoke.
Coming, huh?
There's that, and we're waiting to see if the Juan Soto shoe drops. Could Shohei Ohtani really be on the market? As I said the other day, if the Angels do that, they should just close up shop. There should just be 29 Major League Baseball teams if they do that. So Buster Olney will join us in hour number three for that. Bob Ryan will join us as the great Bill Russell passed away yesterday at the age of 88. He will join us and we'll have some thoughts on the passing of the brilliant, great Bill Russell. And the first guest joining us in 18 minutes time is Albert Breer. He has been on the training camp beat for Sports Illustrated. His MMQB came out today with some interesting nuggets on what the Steelers are going to do at the quarterback position and so much more. He will be joining us in 17 minutes time, but obviously the first item up for bids with him will be how we start this program, which is the fact that Deshaun Watson has been suspended. We have now finally gotten the number of games that Deshaun Watson has been suspended by Sue L. Robinson, the independent, disciplinarian, the judge. Sue L. Robinson took quite a bit of time to come back with the number of 6 regular season games that Deshaun Watson will be suspended. And no fine on top of it. And I'm sure he is just fine with that, certainly since the Browns had his back in the way that they put the first year of his new contract together and how nearly 99% of the money that he receives this year is free from any of that suspension taking a bite out of his salary. So the headline from here is simple. It's not enough. It's not enough. And I take this approach because of the way that Watson acted repeatedly, a repeat offender of all of the women who sued him and the apparently dozens who didn't. According to the New York Times, 66 masseuses is different masseuses he contacted over a 17-month period. And I've said here multiple times, all it takes is one, and then there's 66 of them and more than two dozen who sued him. Now, I understand there were no criminal charges in the six games that Roethlisberger got for his transgressions and the six games that Ezekiel Elliott got for his. Neither of them were criminally charged, so that's how you can take anything from previous occasions and apply it as a precedence here. And the two things I have to say about that are there's no precedence for what Deshaun Watson has done. Using Instagram in a predatory manner, it appears. And there were only five instances that were placed before Sue L. Robinson for whatever reason. And so she just took the five occasions to take a look at it. And to me, what Watson did is unprecedented. There is no precedence for this. And then secondly, well, there's precedence here, precedence there. Tell me about the precedence that the Supreme Court is taking a look at right now. And I know I might be conflating issues. I'm just saying in courts of law, we're seeing precedences thrown out left and right to the detriment of women's rights, I might add. And that's where I also land on this, it's not enough, is the court of public opinion. I will proffer to say, shall frown upon this significantly. And this is absolutely important in this aspect of it as well. Especially since you take a look at what Sue L. Robinson apparently has said. We have not seen the full ruling from her as to why she thought what she thought and why she did what she did. And I understand that makes my commentary here fraught with the possibility that I might be criticizing where criticism is not warranted. But my compadre from the NFL media group, Tom Pelissero, tweeted out that he has seen portions of it, or it's been given to him or leaked to him, that she called Watson's behavior, a pattern of behavior, egregious. But notes that the behavior was nonviolent sexual conduct in explaining the decision to suspend him six games. Now, I don't know what that is, nonviolent sexual conduct, but I'll just look up the definition of violence, which is behavior involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something. Also means strength of emotion or an unpleasant or destructive natural force, but I think she's just saying he didn't put hands on somebody and didn't violently attack. But what about violating somebody? Yeah. What about that definition? Violating is fail to respect someone's peace, privacy, or rights. Break or fail to comply with a rule or formal agreement. He certainly violated many of these women who then sued him civilly, including one who has yet to drop anything, according to Tony Busby, the attorney who's represented most of the women. Coercive behavior. according to some of these women. Coercive. Ask those women if they felt like he was not violent or violating them. That's why I say it's not enough. And to those who have absolutely lambasted me, I got a thick skin. But I see it, that I haven't taken owners of the NFL to task, but I am feeling free to bash Deshaun Watson, who I have multiple occasions said this gives me zero pleasure, because this person who I have met on multiple occasions was, to me, one of the bright spots to come out of college and cast their aura of what appeared to be nothing but beneficent behavior and fellowship for their common human, and how patently shocking and disappointing all of this is. The league should absolutely take a better approach to hammering those in ownership. People, yes, who pay my salary on Sundays when I work for the NFL Network and the NFL Media Group, which, as you know, I have signed up for 4 more years or agreed to terms for 4 more years to, and gladly and happily, to be somebody who talks football for a living. But any owners who run afoul of their personal conduct policy should absolutely be taken to task, and have not been taken to task significantly enough to open the door for the Players Association to appropriately tell Sue L. Robinson, you can't give more than X number of games, when we haven't seen the behavior on management side taken to task. And the reason why Calvin Ridley gets more games than Deshaun Watson, and the reason why you see suspensions for 4 games, almost as much as Watson, for, say, ball deflation that, in my mind, never took place. The reason why it's so all over the map is because they're in different silos under the collective bargaining agreement, personal conduct policy, and then also a policy for gambling, a policy for PEDs, a policy for competitive matters. And the personal conduct policy and the way it's been hammered out and also discipline handed down has been a complete mess for the last 20 years. We all know that, which is why the league said, let's just, with the Players Association, find somebody who can make a ruling. And then if the ruling is zero, we can do nothing about it. But if it's more than zero, then the commissioner or his designee can then have a whack at it on the appeals process. And I know the Players Association is not happy about that, but they signed it. They signed it. And so that's the difference. That's why Ridley gets a year for parlaying 4 figures of dollars, apparently, and why Brady gets 4 games for ball deflation. And then somebody who is credibly accused by multiple dozens of women gets 6. But in the court of public opinion, that stinks. And the court of public opinion is filled with women and filled with purchasing power. And the court of public opinion must be addressed as well. Must be addressed as well. Because a lot of people are like, well, how does somebody get this and somebody get that and he gets this? Well, I just explained it to you, but that's not going to matter at all. So I say the league should address this, especially with him not getting fined. How does Sue L. Robinson not know that the Browns, and by the way, blame the Browns for that if that outrages you, that this is only going to cost him a mere bag of shells, to use the Ralph Cramden phrase, because the Browns in the contract put so much of his first year in a signing bonus that is not subject to suspension and penalty for six games. The Browns had his back on that, and they saw that coming. And I also see the criticism that the league gave them the easiest six games to start the season because they knew it was coming, six games. So I guess the Chargers, the Steelers, the Patriots, that doesn't matter, right? Though you could just roll over them. And Carolina and the Jets, Atlanta, they stuck them there. Forget about the fact that they threw Houston in the back end. I guess you could sit there and say that that's to make sure Deshaun Watson would be there for some revenge game that, by the way, is a 1 o'clock Eastern on CBS, I believe, that day. And that will be as nailed to the wall as possible because nobody's going to, in the league, put that on national television. So we could be relitigating all of this stuff. So let's see what the league does from here. Because right now, the message is you can be credibly accused of all of this behavior by multiple women, and it hardly costs you a dime, and all it does is cost you six games. And you get a $230 million guaranteed contract otherwise. While this was all playing out. Stinks. And the court of public opinion, I believe, is ready to bring down the hammer. Wonder what you think. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Albert Breer will join us on this program in just a mere matter of time to find out what is possibly next here. And what else do you think about it? Again, happy to hear from you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial, especially if you disagree with me. We always have rational conversations here on the program, even with people who don't agree with me. I actually appreciate hearing from you folks in that camp especially. And then there's Bob Ryan. There's an overreaction Monday. By the way, Deebo Samuel signed. All of the receivers who wanted new money have now been signed.
Only one got traded, though.
Only one got traded, as he'd like to point out on Twitter over the weekend. Okay. So there's all of that right on the program. Buster Olney joins us in hour number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. Albert Breer joins us live on the Rich Eisen Show when we return on this first day of August. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. His MMQB today in particular just reminded me that football is back because it is so filled with information and nuggets that you'd want to know about your team, your fantasy drafts that are coming up just based on his information, but also important stories that are going on around the National Football League. And he was in Pittsburgh, and so we'll pick his brain about that. But joining us here on the day that Deshaun Watson, we learned initially, suspended for six games for the upcoming season from Sports Illustrated on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, and is none other than Albert Breer back on the program. How you doing, Albert?
Hey, Rich. I think I heard Brockman talking about the Red Sox. Sell, 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 sell.
Yes, you sound like that.
No, why?
Huh?
No, you can't get rid of Rafi or Xander. Come on.
They're going nowhere, and if you're not going to sign them, which I still don't get how this ownership group that spent through the nose 15 years ago now all of a sudden is acting like, you know, like they're the Oakland A's. But if you're not going to re-sign these guys, you're just going to let him walk, then why not get something for him now?
Well, I hear you. Trust me, I would love to pit the two of you against one another, just as a Yankee fan watching two Red Sox fans cannibalize
we
each other.
Fall for
that'd
it,
be
Albert.
Wonderful, but there's too much football going on, Albert Breer.
So let's get to it.
Walk me through what you know about Sue L. Robinson's decision and how she came about it, please.
Yeah. So I think like the important things here to know. First of all, this wasn't the NFL making the decision, which I know you don't need clarification on, but I do feel like that's an important distinction to make here, that it was the arbitrator, Sue L. Robinson, making this decision. It wasn't based on 24 cases, you know, the 24 lawsuits. It was based on four. The NFL brought five cases. Sue L. Robinson threw one of those cases out because the league hadn't talked to the woman involved in that one. And then I think some of the language that we've seen come out is important. You know, she used the word nonviolent, and look, I'm not going to say whether she's right or wrong. I don't know, but you know, I think her using the word nonviolent is important. And then, my understanding is she was pretty critical of the NFL reacting to public perception and making decisions based on public perception. And so,
business. It's a business.
No, I know, but that was part of it. Was like that she was saying like this should be about the facts in the case, not how whatever decision we make is going to be perceived publicly. So, I know like the union and Watson's camp felt like the league didn't present that strong a case, as strong a case as, you know, maybe we've seen out there in the public over the last, you know, year and a half. I guess the 6-game suspension would sort of back that up, which, you know, of course it mirrors the decisions that the league made in the Zeke Elliott, Ben Roethlisberger cases, which are similar only in the sense that, obviously the accusations in those cases were really bad, but there weren't criminal charges.
So what happens now, Albert?
I think the league is probably taking the temperature of the public right now, to be honest with you. I don't think that this is a simple decision for Roger Goodell. And we can look at like the different things he can do here. For those who don't know the process, and I'll run through it really quick, like the league can appeal and the union can appeal the decision. The union's already said they won't appeal Sue Robinson's decision. And then it's either going to be Roger or his designee hearing the case. And so, after you get through, that, then obviously Roger or his designee would make the final decision. I think what's interesting about this one, Bridge, is like that you'd have, Roger here kind of, in a spot where, do I want my name on the decision? And if it sticks at 6 games, he could say, well, we think, he should have gotten a year, but we do think Sue Robinson ran a fair process, so we're going to allow for that, that decision to stand. He could knock it up a couple games, and I'm not sure Watson or the PA would fight that if he went up a couple games. But then does that really do anything? Now you've involved yourself in the process, and you don't look like you're being that tough on it. Or he could go to a year, and if he were to go to a year, well, then the NFL is going to be back in court with a player. And there's a decent chance then that Deshaun Watson would play in the opener because the union would seek a temporary restraining order and try to get a stay on the suspension, which would put Deshaun Watson out there while the case was in court, which would obviously make it a pretty public thing for the NFL season. So, I don't know that there are great options here for Roger Goodell. And I think it's going to be a very, very difficult decision to make over the next, 48 to 72 hours, whether or not the league goes forward with this. And then if they do, whether or not Roger Goodell is the one to hear the case.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what are you hearing from Watson's camp, if anything, on this, Albert?
I think they are. I don't know if they're happy with the suspension, but I would say at this point they're seeking closure. It's probably the best way to put it. I think they feel like after this thing's been, before two grand juries and now a former U.S. District Court judge, like that's enough. And so I think that's part of the reasoning for, Watson's camp and the union getting together and putting the statement out that they did last night, because sure, they felt good about how the hearing went, but I think the other part of that was like that they felt like this had gone far enough. And so I actually think Watson's camp is at peace now with where this stands. And, you know, I think the ball is very much in the NFL's court.
Do you think we will hear from him, or they're going to wait till because he's just been so poor, to be very honest with you, at explaining himself throughout this entire process. What might be the plan on that over the next couple of days, Albert? You think?
My guess, you know, and the Browns have been. I was there, you know, the other day, and I think the Browns have sort of had, you know, Kevin Stefanski be the one that's out front explaining this over the first few days of camp and answering all the questions and all that different stuff. And obviously, his teammates have to answer questions too, as how all this relates to football. My guess would be they'll probably wait to see what the NFL is going to do before putting him before the media, because there still obviously are some unanswered questions. But, you know, I do know that, like, some people in the Browns organization feel like once there is closure on this, they'll be able to speak a little bit more freely on, you know, how their process worked and trading for him and everything else. And so, you know, I think you may hear a little bit more from the Browns here over the next couple of days. But my guess is, you know, when you're talking about kind of the tone changing a little bit and then, you know, maybe Watson himself becoming available, they may wait for the NFL's decision on whether or not they're going to appeal the decision by the arbitrator.
Well, as we speak, the league just put out a statement, and they mentioned how they thanked Judge Robinson for her attention to the matter and appreciated her diligence and professionalism pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement. Both sides can appeal in 3 days. In light of her findings, the league is reviewing Judge Robinson's imposition of a 6-game suspension and will make a determination on next steps. So,
right. So, I think, like, you know, Rich, we're not being, like you said, it's a business, right? Like, and that's right. Like,
yeah.
Like I you know, I think that they're very much going to be sort of monitoring the way that this is discussed.
Exactly. You know, so everybody keeps thinking the league or its independent arbitrator is like real life. Like, we should depend on the NFL to make some sort of a judgment that, say, a grand jury didn't, or a prosecutor didn't, or police didn't, or whatever. This is essentially a business. And so when it comes down to it, you know, is Deshaun Watson guilty in a court of law? No. And forget about the court of public opinion for a moment. This is running a business. And then you return to the court of public opinion when you're running a business. Like, that's a fact. And so if you don't want to get caught up in the jaws of the court of public opinion, then don't keep looking on Instagram for some masseuse over and over and over again, a different masseuse. So what is it true? Is it true, Albert, that Sue Robinson put in her opinion, again, we haven't seen it yet, that Watson's only allowed to get massages from Brown's employees? Is that true?
Yep. Yeah. That's part of it. Yes.
Wow.
And I think we always knew there were going to be some conditions on this. Like, and I haven't seen that part of it. Like, but you'll remember, like, if you go back to Roethlisberger, counseling, I believe, was in that, right, in that decision. You know, so, like, there are always going to be conditions on these in these sorts of cases. And look, like, you're right, public perception does matter because it is a business and it's a forward-facing business. And, you know, these athletes are part of what shapes the image of the entire business, a huge part of it, you know? And so, you know, I think with, you know, like Roethlisberger, if you go back to that one and you listen to some of the language used in that case by Roger and other people, it was, you put the league in a position to look really bad and you violated the personal conduct policy. You put us all in a bad light. And I think that this is similar. And I think if we get our hand, if, you know, eventually Sue Robinson's conclusion becomes public, and, you know, obviously it hasn't yet, it wouldn't surprise me if that's part of it. If, you know, like, part of it is, you know, it's on everybody involved in the league, players, coaches, front office people, everybody else, to put the league in a, to keep the league in a positive light. And obviously Deshaun Watson failed to do that.
Albert Breer here from the MMQB and Sports Illustrated on the Rich Eisen Show. The Deebo Samuel deal is done. So was this always about money, Albert?
No, I actually don't think so. Like, I do think, like, it's about role. And, you know, I think last year, if you look at the story of their season, it's really interesting. I believe, like, through, like, 9 games, he was second in the league in receiving yards. You know, and then, you know, I think that Rams game was the Monday night game where his role started to change. And from that point forward, he was arguably the most valuable player on the team, but probably the third guy in the passing game behind Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, if you look at the numbers. And so, you know, I think part of this was how Debo envisions himself as being a true number one receiver. And that's sort of what he aspires to be. The other piece of it is the obvious, which is playing. I mean, the guy wasn't getting the ball in jet sweeps and stuff. Like, they were playing him as like an I formation tailback. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I think there's a longevity piece to this too. And knowing the more he played like that, especially with his injury history, like, it could affect his shelf life. And so, and I think as much of this as anything else is about, you know, leaning on the relationship you have with the player. If you're John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, finding a way to talk to him about how you plan to use him going forward and give him assurances that he's going to have a say in the way that he's used. And that's the way it works with athletes at a lot of levels now, you know? So I think the money was never going to be a problem. And if you look at the deal, it's actually a market deal. You know, it's right where Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf, it's right where those guys got paid. The contracts all look like relatively similar. So the template was there. And I don't think the Niners were ever afraid to pay Debo the way that a guy like Metcalf or a guy like McLaurin was paid. I think as much as anything else, it was about Debo feeling comfortable that he wanted to sign away the next 4 years of his life to play in San Francisco based on what happened at the end of last year.
So does that mean we're going to still see him get the same number of touches at running back, and he'll just trust the process? Well, or has there been some sort of a deal struck between coach and player?
On the internet there, the name escapes me, and I feel like a jerk, but there was a running back they took out at LSU in the third or fourth round. If anybody, if one of your guys has it there, I can't remember the guy's name, but
Brockman is Googling as we speak. Go for it.
Okay. They drafted him in the third or fourth round, right? That was after they drafted Eli Mitchell and Trey Sermon last year in the third round and the sixth round, right? Like, I was told like that part of drafting that LSU running back, and not that they didn't like the player, they obviously liked the player, but drafting the LSU running back was sort of an olive branch to Debo and saying, hey, look, like, we're trying to build depth at that position so we won't have to do this ever again, you know? Because part of it last year was they didn't have enough quality depth at that position. So they're saying to Debo, essentially, we're drafting this extra running back here, even though we took two last year, as like sort of a symbol to you, we're really trying to fix that position so you can play the sort of role you envision for yourself.
Tyrion Davis Price, the running back from LSU. He also pays his debts like all Lannisters as well.
Third round pick.
Yes. So
that's a pretty, like, a year after using two draft picks on running backs, right? That's a pretty valuable piece of draft capital to be using on a position that a lot of people don't value that way. Right. So, like, that was very much, I know that's part of the thinking for the Niners, that was sort of an olive branch to Debo. Like, we're trying to make that position, to stock that position in a way where we won't have to use you in that role again.
A few more minutes left with Albert Breer, the MMQB senior NFL reporter on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you learn from the independent study clause existence and then disappearance? What was that all about?
I mean, what a train wreck, huh? I mean, like, seriously, like, I know this. Like, I know there were some questions about Kyler, and I hesitate to say work ethic because I don't think that's what it is, right? Like, he takes care of his body. He does, like, passing camps with his teammates in Texas and Arizona. You know, I think it was as much about, you know, how he allocates his hours and where he allocates his hours as much as anything else. That's my feeling on it. They want him to be more of a leader. And if they were going to hand him this contract, they want him to be the sort of guy that's going to pull guys with him. And, you know, I think that means being a full participant in the offseason program, which he hasn't at any point in his career. And that's why the workout clause is in there. I think that means allocating some of his time that he does to taking care of his body to studying the game. Because, you know, maybe the way he plays isn't sustainable 5 or 6 years from now. So, you know, I think as much as anything else, it was maybe not a shot at Kyler's work ethic so much as it was a shot at his leadership. And, you know, what sort of leader he was going to be for the team going forward. And that's so important when you're giving a guy a contract like that, because, Rich, you know this as well as anybody. Those guys in those locker rooms, they keep score. They pay attention to who you're paying. And those guys in those locker rooms, they know how the guys that are getting paid are acting and carrying themselves. And so, you know, I think a huge part of this was, Kyler, we need more of you. We need more of you in a number of different areas. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw the statement in February, because after what Mort reported on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, Kyler's camp knew, like, all right, like, they're not, like, really 100% all in on us, so we need to start to put the pressure on them, because Kyler had seen his ex-college teammate, Baker Mayfield, wait for a contract that never wound up coming. So, you know, I think this whole thing was complicated from the start, and when you have all those little complications involved there, you know, I think that you end up with these sorts of awkward, weird things put into contract.
So they're not as concerned about his readiness for game day. They just think he's on Twitch too much. Like, literally, that's what it is. And if he's on Twitch because you can see when he's gaming, if he's on Twitch, you can actually see what he's doing with his time.
Yeah,
and if you're in a position of management or authority and somebody could text you, he's back on Twitch again. And, you know, he could still have it locked down, like he's done his film study, he's done everything. You know, it's kind of like, again, Susie and I look at our kids and we're like, you're done with your homework already? You know, like, that's the way we approach it. You know, it's kind of crazy.
That's the whole thing, too. And you know, look, like, again, like, I think they are concerned, you know, like, is he studying enough? Is he, you know, is that why, you know, we're having issues at the end of the year? And they also understand if the quarterback's working, and you know this, Rich, if the quarterback's working, then everybody else is going to work, you know? So they understand the effect that it has on the overall team. And that's what I'm talking about from a leadership standpoint. I mean, Kyler's rep coming out like the rap on him was that he was a baseball player. You know, he had a baseball player's mentality. Well, what does that mean? That means if you got a baseball player's mentality, maybe you're a little bit of an independent contractor. And that's always been the issue with him. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think there was definitely concern there. And here's the thing, too, about putting that clause in.
Yes.
I mean, really, Rich? What's the upside? Like what? Like, so he's going to set like the alarm clock on his phone for 40 minutes a day and just run the clock out? No. Like, if he's going to make that meaningful work, he's going to have to want to do it. He's going to have to want to do it the same way other quarterbacks want to do it. So, I mean, there was so much downside to me to putting that in the contract. I don't know if you can tell me, but I just don't know what the upside was to putting that in there.
I don't know. Maybe they just didn't. Somebody didn't think about what it will look like if, you know, when it comes out. Because as you know, everything comes out in the National right. Football League. So, you know, I it's just wild. And then we'll just see how it all plays out over the first 6 weeks with obviously no DeAndre Hopkins. Where are you right now, Albert? We can hear
I'm
the whistling.
In practice. That's why the first like 5 minutes of conversation was a little awkward because I was trying to avoid the speakers.
It's all good.
And then I think
I love the whistles.
I walked into an area where maybe I wasn't supposed to be, and so security was kind of pointing me around.
Oh,
but I tried to raise the volume in my voice, so this would seem like a very important phone call.
But I which it is. Okay.
It can be a little dodgy, and I thought it'd be fine out here, but the speakers were a little louder than I bargained for.
No, it's great. I love the whistles. All we need is just the sound of the sprinklers, and we got ourselves a Hard Knock open. So this is great. Before I let you go, just a couple minutes on your lead item and your Monday morning quarterback going to Steelers camp. Is this Trubisky's gig? Because we saw over the weekend that Pickett is getting only third-team reps. Mason Rudolph's looking good, but is this Trubisky's gig, you think?
Yeah, I'll just so history tells us that first-round picks are going to play, right? Like, this is a pretty amazing number. If you go back to Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco in 2008, 44 quarterbacks have gone in the first round from 08 to 21. Only three didn't make multiple starts as rookies, which is nuts, right? So every first-round pick plays, essentially. That said, the Steelers aren't going to do something based on how everybody else does something. Kenny Pickett looked like he has a long way to go based on what I saw out there. Now, that can change, but like right now, that's what it looks like. And I hate to say it, like, Trubisky looks like there might be a little something there. Like, I know he took a lot from playing with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and I think he can be a serviceable starting quarterback, you know? So, and maybe more than that. We'll see, you know, but I think they feel like they've got a contender there. And, you know, like having a veteran quarterback, guy who's played a lot, and Mitch Trubisky helps. And I don't think they're going to push Kenny Pickett out onto the field just to push him out onto the field. And right now, it doesn't look like he's ready to start.
Albert, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it, man. Be well.
Thanks for putting up with me having to dodge people over here.
Come on, man.
Maybe I'm going to have to go back and listen to the podcast to hear my voice rising so I can, you know, bring back that memory of having to dodge security there 20 minutes ago.
Are you coming out here to Los Angeles where the world champs reside?
I was going to text you about that last night and I forgot. But yeah, I'll be out there, I think.
Next week,
Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, something like that.
Oh, so come in.
Are you gonna be in town?
I don't know if I'll be here, but the show's on the air. I'll reach out to you because everybody here wants to see your training camp Nantucket George Hamilton tan and how it's all working.
Oh, it's in good shape right now. We had a couple of cloudy days that affected it a little bit.
Okay. How dare you?
I think by the time I get there, I think I should be in good shape.
Clouds cannot get in your way, sir. Thanks for the time, Albert. You be well.
All right, thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Albert Breer right there, who, in the mention of Mitchell Trubisky, did you notice two things? Higher register. He's got some going on there.
I think he learned something with Josh
and
Allen.
He dropped the word that I associate with the word solid. Serviceable.
Yep.
That is the subtext of the word solid. He's a solid quarterback. Serviceable. I do not view solid, as everybody around these parts knows, as a compliment. There are so many more descriptive adjectives and words to say something complimentary. Serviceable, ain't it? But looks like Pickett.
Poll question.
Looks like poll question.
What's better, solid or serviceable?
Solid's way better. Okay. Solid's just a Rich thing.
Put it in there. Yeah. I know it's a me thing. It's a me thing. It is absolutely a me thing.
How about this? Would you rather be called?
But serviceable.
Let's take a break. Your phone call's on the other side right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I've got three, Chris, of poll questions. Three. Ooh. Coming up. Back here on the program. So poll question, is the suspension for Deshaun Watson appropriate?
Okay. Just yes or no?
Yes or no.
Too light,
yes
too little?
Or no. Yes or no. You know, I don't usually like putting yes or no questions. Right?
I know you don't.
Okay. Let's throw that one out there. And then you want to put the, you know.
I want to do, would you rather be referred to as solid or serviceable?
Well, I mean, I would rather be referred to as solid than serviceable, too.
So then what's the way to word
another
that?
Another yes or no. Is solid an insult? I know, and I'm going to lose that.
No,
80. I'm going to lose that. I'm going to lose that,
no,
what, 90
gonna,
to 10?
Yeah, you'll lose that. Yeah, you'll lose that by. I say solid all the time. He's a solid guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's like, he's a solid guy is fine. Like, it's talking about your work. He's solid.
Yeah, that means right, good.
Just forget that. I don't know. Leave it out. It's a losing pattern.
All right, we'll just leave Deshaun.
All right, let's go to, let's see who we're going to go to. Chris in Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rich, how are you doing today?
What's going on in your mind, sir?
Hey, man, I wanted to talk about the Deshaun Watson thing.
Yes.
But first, I wanted to tell you that I watched you on the Mothership, and you and the... I'm so sorry. Anyway,
it's all good.
I'll get to my point.
No, it's okay, Chris. Take a breath.
I have three daughters, mm-hmm. and the Deshaun Watson thing really bothers me because he is obviously a predator. Like what was he doing? Getting massages and doing his thing? Like, that seems a little. Like, I hope that they suspend him for longer than that. So that's what I'll say about that. And then my other thing was Stuart Scott, by the way.
Yes.
I couldn't remember his name. Is anybody, like, management, GM, ownership of the Browns, like, they're okay with this?
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
how could they not be? I mean... And thanks for the call. I mean, how could they not be? They signed him before knowing any of this fully. I mean, whatever he told them to their face. And again, he might have, done the work that is clearly necessary for him on straightening his life out. I mean, and he might take offense his life didn't need any straightening out. Again, I don't know anybody in my circle, nor would they admit to, you know what I'm doing with my spare time? I am going all over Instagram and sliding into DMs and asking for people to, you know, massage me. I need their help. I need their help within an hour. You know, hey, where are you? We could meet at this place that I've rented. You know, I could come to yours. I mean, read all of the New York Times material on this, please, before you form an opinion or you think you've formed your full opinion on it. He could have done the work. He could have, and he could just basically be able to just turn the page on his life and say he's not going to do any of this behavior anymore. And the Haslams are like, okay, we really need quarterback here, so we'll give you the best contract in the history of the NFL. So when somebody's like, are they fine with this? How are they? And they might get offended by me saying, oh, of course they're fine with this. Then we're not fine with this sort of behavior. We're not fine with this sort of stuff. Well, you paid the man. And you also formulated his contract in a way where this suspension does not touch him financially with any significance, any bite, because you set it up that way. And they should be fine with 6 games because you know what? The Brown season is completely viable. Albert Breer said earlier the commissioner doesn't have many good options because if he does something so significant over the 6 games, people would say that the situation was rigged, even though this was collectively bargained, or they would sue and thus have a temporary stay, and he would start week 1, by the way, against Carolina and Baker Mayfield potentially. And he doesn't have those options. Those are very poor options. Why not go with 12 games? 12 games. I'm going to double it. He can play this year. And that also kneecaps the Browns' potential season. Why not do that? I'm coming back and I'm doubling it. Because you take a look at Sue Robinson's decision. Ian Rappaport tweeted out the conclusion. The NFL may be a forward-facing organization, she wrote, but it is not necessarily a forward-looking one. Just as the NFL responded to violent conduct after a public outcry, so it seems the NFL is responding to yet another public outcry about Mr. Watson's conduct. At least in the former situation, the policy was changed and applied proactively. Here, the NFL is attempting to impose a more dramatic shift in the culture, in its culture, without the benefit of fair notice to and consistency of consequence for those in the NFL subject to the policy. Again, I didn't read, we haven't seen what she's referring to earlier, but that does appear to be her looking at the language and making a ruling based on the language in a collective bargaining agreement. And talking about a public outcry. But then she says, looking at the record when compared to the relevant precedent and looking forward to how this disciplinary determination might be used in the future, I find the most appropriate landing place to be as follows. Mr. Watson is hereby suspended for 6 regular season games without pay. Although this is the most significant punishment ever imposed on an NFL player for allegations of nonviolent sexual conduct, Mr. Watson's pattern of conduct is more egregious than any before reviewed by the NFL. Recognizing that the only discipline mentioned in the CBA is a...
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.